Welcome back to Dakota Midday. I'm Lori Walsh. On Thursday, last Thursday, during a protest in Dallas, Texas, that was designed to be peaceful, a man gunned down five law enforcement officers, wounding several more. Protesters had gathered in response to officer-involved shootings in Minnesota and Louisiana. Yesterday on Dakota Midday, we focused on how a week such as this impacts policing in South Dakota. You can listen to those conversations on our website. But today, we continue the conversation, and joining us for that is South Dakota Attorney General Marty Jackley. Attorney General Jackley, welcome back to Dakota Midday.
Thank you for having me.
I want to continue on some of the stuff that we started talking about yesterday, and specifically with you, give me an idea. The officers were talking about what happens after an officer-involved shooting in South Dakota. Can you fill us in a little bit more on what those days look like?
You know, certainly. And, of course, here in South Dakota, whenever there is an officer-involved shooting, it's taken very serious. And not every shooting is the same. But generally speaking, what we try to do in law enforcement is to bring in two independent agencies. And so right away, when we have notice of an officer-involved shooting, you will see the Division of Criminal Investigations coming in and teaming up with another local agency that was not involved in the shooting. And as we move forward, that gives the public, I think, the reassurance that there are a couple of different local and state agencies involved in the investigation part of it. We try to be transparent with the public, let the media and the public know that there's been a shooting, giving some very straightforward details about that shooting. And then over time, over the next 30 days, there ultimately is the wrapping up of the investigation. That report will go to the local elected state's attorney as well as the attorney general to review for whether or not we believe there is, number one, any potential criminal action against the individual that may have been involved in the shooting, as well as whether or not we believe that the officer appropriately used that force. And once that is completed, we will issue a release to the public, a summary talking about the circumstances of the shooting. Sometimes you'll see, depending upon whether there's a weapon involved, pictures of the weapon. And so we try to be both fair, we try to be efficient time-wise to get it out to the public within 30 days, and we try to be transparent as we can, recognizing that there may be a criminal proceeding, that there are some limitations on what we can say, but that eventually that information will get out to the public.
Is 30 days enough time for that kind of a complicated investigation?
It certainly is for an initial look at it. In other words, if there is more work to be done, that is something that we'll indicate in the release. Sometimes it may be almost complete without, say, a toxicology report, or there may be some information missing. But certainly 30 days is an appropriate time, at least in my opinion, for the Attorney General to tell the public that this is what we're finding. And perhaps if we have more work to do, to just be straightforward and say this is the work that we are going to continue to do.
So social media plays a big part in what the public is going to hear as they wait during that 30 days. In the next 30 minutes now, it seems, or even 30 seconds, there'll be Facebook video, things posted online. How do we as citizens look at some of those video clips as we wait for an investigation and sort of process an officer-involved shooting?
You know, one thing, and it's the way we process it in law enforcement, is there may be a in-dash vehicle video, there may be a body-worn camera video, there may be a separate witness with an iPhone or a business with a security video. You know, certainly that's a piece of the evidence, but it's important to look at all of the evidence, because oftentimes we will find that a particular dash camera video has an angle, but the body camera gave a better angle and gave better voice. Or it may be a circumstance where not everything is captured on video, particularly at the front end of what is happening. That might be a 911 call for service. It might be an active shooter situation. So it's important to be patient. And South Dakota has been very good to law enforcement, recognizing that there is going to be that 30-day time period that let the independent law enforcement agencies do the investigation to make sure that it's thorough, it's complete, look at all the evidence, understanding, too, that the Attorney General will release that summary to the public, that it won't be held, it'll be released, and then we go from there.
Is the use of regular citizens using cell phone cameras, for example, or mobile device cameras, can that be helpful to an investigation?
Absolutely. I mean, that's just one more piece of evidence that sometimes, the picture, the video captures something that other witnesses haven't seen, You know, certainly you have to take it what it's worth. I mean, there, you know, oftentimes there's quite a distance. It might not be as clear as a body-worn camera that's right there. But all of these different pieces of evidence, whether it's the body-worn camera, the in-dash video, a surveillance video, or a citizen, is helpful in looking at what developed, looking at that use of force, and ultimately helping in making the decision whether the officer was justified in his or her actions.
What are you looking for that, to establish whether or not an officer is justified in using deadly force? What are some of the fundamentals that make it justifiable?
You know, the test is really, you know, a reasonable officer put in those circumstances would act in a similar manner. I mean, that is the test. It's one of a reasonable officer. And you have to look at the totality of the circumstances, what that officer knew, what information was provided, whether it be in a 911 call for service, whether it be a victim of what may have happened telling the officer. It's what the officer may be seeing, in instance, from a weapon. There's all those circumstances that you have to put into play, circumstances of whether or not there was just the officer in danger, whether there were other officers in danger, whether there were civilians in danger. So you're looking at the totality of what is unfolded, what the officer knew, and whether or not that officer acted reasonably.
Does the nature of being reasonable differ geographically? Is it different expectation for what an officer would reasonably believe in South Dakota versus in St. Paul?
You know, I think there is a practical reality that there is. I mean, I think when you look at the case law talks about a reasonable and prudent officer. I think you have to look at all the circumstances. And that circumstance can change, too, in a rural setting versus a metropolitan setting. So, you know, there is one basic standard, but I think practically speaking, there are different things that affect what a reasonable officer is doing or shouldn't be doing.
Let's talk a little bit about support and what people say when they step to the mic from an administrative standpoint. National, you know, President Obama talked, Loretta Lynch talked, and yesterday I asked one of the officers, you know, what words did he sort of crave from leadership, and he sort of seemed to think that maybe some of those words of support weren't as strong as he wanted them to be. Are you hearing that from other law enforcement officers, where they feel not supported by national leadership, in officers in South Dakota, I mean?
You know, I think our officers in South Dakota, when it comes to state leadership, and that's from the attorney general to mayors and their police chiefs to the sheriffs and the chiefs themselves, as well as the public, support our officers very strongly. I mean, we've had difficult circumstances in South Dakota. I mean, you look back at Rapid City, the loss of officers Armstrong and McCandless. You look at, in Turner County, Deputy Mickles. You look at our Department of Corrections with R.J. Johnson. We've had tragedies in South Dakota that have, I think, focused the attention that police work is very important for public safety, but it also can be a dangerous job. And I think there's been a reservoir of trust built in South Dakota. I think the public, you know, deservedly so, is very respectful of law enforcement, has been supportive to make sure law enforcement has the equipment it needs and the training, the bulletproof vests, the body-worn cameras when agencies feel that is the right thing. And so in South Dakota, we live in a unique place where I think there's an earned trust. I just am returning back from an attorney general meeting and talking to my colleagues. It's not that way across the nation. And in some levels, some of the politicians have not necessarily supported law enforcement and tried to be part of, you know, overcoming some of the challenges that departments across the nation are facing. And I think we're very unique in South Dakota that we have had strong leadership from our elected officials, from our chiefs and sheriffs, to make sure that, you know, officers continue to build that trust in the community. And some of it starts with those officer-involved shootings that we've experienced here in South Dakota, where we are very transparent. We try to have a fair in-place process. We don't hide the ball. We're very open about that process. And similarly, when we've had those tragedies, communities have really rallied around law enforcement. I remember back when the Armstrong and McCandless shooting happened in Rapid City with Officer Doyle, also the heroes in blue T-shirts were everywhere. Mm-hmm. And it's those kind of things that I think are very helpful. I've always tried to encourage, you know, if members of the community see a law enforcement officer or a family member of a law enforcement officer, thank them for the work that they do. You know, take a picture and put that on Facebook thanking our officers. It's important work, but it can be dangerous work.
Can that trust be eroded by national events and social media, do you think?
You know, I think it can be. I mean, I think you're starting to see that a little bit, and that's why it's ever important here in South Dakota that we continue from a law enforcement perspective to focus on the training, to focus on making sure when we do have incidences such as an officer-involved shooting that we remain very open about what has happened. And I think those things continue to gain that trust. And another way to gain that trust is just the work that law enforcement does to protect communities. I mean, we do a very good job in South Dakota of, number one, cooperating. Oftentimes you'll see police departments and sheriff's departments in the state working together. And I think people see that and appreciate that. I don't think here in South Dakota we have the aggressive law enforcement issues that exist in other departments. And I think that's important that we remain responsible and reasonable in keeping the public safe.
What's the right way to approach citizens in South Dakota who say, yeah, there is a problem, or they've seen something, or they had an experience? What's the right way to approach just an ever-present willingness to increase professionalism?
You know, I think a big part of that is to listen, to make sure, number one, we listen to what those concerns are, and then educate. If it's something that the concern could be, you know, made the citizen made feel better about, it is to educate them about what the training we do in South Dakota or what steps we've taken to alleviate certain concerns. I mean, there are plenty of examples where I think law enforcement can do a better job of making sure we listen and educate about the work that we're doing.
Attorney General Marty Jackley, I want to thank you so much for your time today, and welcome back. Welcome home.
Thanks, Laura. It's good to be home.